advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. It's advice from a dipshit with Matt Bronger.
Hey, welcome to Advice from a Dipshit with Matt Bronger. I am Matt Bronger. As you know, people call in and I try to give them advice and typically fail, but I give it my best shot. Even running off a cliff, you run in place for a little while before you fall. I want to thank everybody who has called in. We got an amazing response when I posted the cool flyers that my producer Amanda made for us, and it was overwhelming. The power of Instagram. Who knew? And yeah, so thanks for calling in, and without further ado, let's get to the first call.
Hey, dipshit. So I want to know if, or here's my situation. I am not happy at my current job, but I also don't know what the fuck else I want to do. So what advice do you have for that? What would you say is a good plan of action? Thanks. Bye.
The best opening to a call in, you know, since Drunk Ryan last week. Hey, dipshit. That sounded you sounded like a romantic cowboy, sir. That was fantastic. Hey, dipshit. Listen, I want to tell you, you got pretty eyes. Yeah, that's a common conundrum, man. But I'm glad you're honest with yourself. Give yourself some credit for that, first off, because so many of us sit at these jobs and make little deals with ourselves. Like, well, I mean, yeah, I don't love it, but you know, everyone hates their job, right? Nope. No, they don't. Not everybody. If you don't like your job, you should not be doing that job. And I would say my advice to you is write down your interests on a piece of paper and see if any of those are explorable in terms of what you want to head towards next, and take steps from there. In the meantime, maybe drive Lyft, maybe drive Uber to pay the bills. Maybe give yourself 6 months to a year to quit your job. And in that time, try to find fun things to do that don't cost a lot of money, and try to save. Try to save a bunch of money, and then you know, once you reach that point, you think you're comfortable, just quit, man. Walk out with you know, two middle fingers in the air, two freedom rockets raised high. No, don't do that. Give your 2 week notice. But man, I mean, honestly, I'm proud of you for just admitting you're unhappy in your job, because that is something that a lot of us, you know, I waited tables for 6 years in Chicago and bartended, and it was a lot of fun in my early 20s. But then as I got into my later 20s, wasn't that fun, and realized I wasn't following my dreams. I was just doing comedy once a week, usually blotto drunk in a bar for fun and confidence. It wasn't really constructive. And then I finally just said, well, I'm gonna move to LA and to try to follow my dreams. And that was my step. That's where I was at, where you are, romantic cowboy. That's where I was when you were. So I had to choose this point and go for it. So you've done step one, which is be honest with yourself, you know? Step two, I guess it's up to you, but hopefully I've given you some suggestions. So, thanks, man. And keep waxing that awesome mustache. Next call.
Hey, Matt. So on a recent road trip, I was in the car and I told a story about a mutual friend of everyone who was in the car. And I painted this person in a pretty negative light, and I was just talking shit about this person. So come to find out, after the road trip is over, one of the people in the car notifies the person that I was talking shit about, that, you know, that they had hurt my feelings, or, you know, just explained the situation and everything that I had talked about from what I thought was a private conversation in a car on a trip. And then I hurt that person's feelings by talking shit. So my question is, can I be upset with the person that I feel ratted me out? But I also feel like I should live a more positive lifestyle, and that I shouldn't talk shit about anyone, especially someone who I consider more or less a friend to other friends. Can I continue to be trusting, or just be nicer, or can I just be myself and just be a dick and just talk crap about people on road trips? Seems to be a little bit of a crisis. All right. Well, thank you for the help.
Hey, man, my answer right off the top of my head is yes to all. I'm not going to say who did the right thing, who did the wrong thing. I think if you were venting about this friend, maybe this friend wasn't the best person. You don't sound like an obstinate prick. You don't sound like you're trying to create division between your friends. I do feel like driving in a car with some friends is a bit of a safe space, though that term gets vilified a lot these days. I feel like, maybe this person shouldn't have ran and spoke out of school because, the only reason people typically do that is because they want something for themselves. Like this person maybe wanted a little more trust from the other friend, and so they decided to go and, snitch, rat you out, as you put it. I'm not going to say that person's necessarily wrong to do that. Maybe they had their reasons, but I don't think you should be too hard on yourself for talking shit. Everybody talks shit. And the thing that I liked about what you said is that you were wondering, you're like, shit, should I just keep being a dick? You're obviously not a dick, but like, you're like, maybe I should be a little bit more human. And, you're asking these questions, which is good. You're not calling me up going, this fucking idiot friend of mine, they did? They told on me. Fuck them. Fuck the other person. I feel like all these things can be healed. You can all be at one big party and you can walk up to that person you were talking mess about and just be like, look, I had some problems with you. I'm sorry that came out that way. I don't talk behind your back. It's just it came out, blah, blah, blah. This is not the end of the world, but I think it's awesome that you're considering, you're being like, all right, well, maybe I shouldn't have talked shit about them in the first place, and not just blaming the friend that went and told. I'm not into the friend that went and told doing that. I think that's kind of annoying, but at the same time, I don't think you did it just to gossip. I think something that person might have done really bugged you. And should you have gone and talked to them about it? Sure. But not all of us are fucking Spartacus here. We all generally speaking avoid confrontation, and you want to talk it out with somebody else. So I would say just talk to each one of those people individually, not everyone in the car, just the two people involved. Pull them aside, go, hey, you got time to get coffee? You'd be surprised at how much people love when you make an effort to just go, look, can I just talk to you about this? And they're usually taken aback. They're like, wow, because I was just going to let this fester and resent you for years. And maybe it would erupt in a three-way murder in a kitchen when we were all 80 or something like that. In the weirdest fucking possible Coen Brothers movie style. What I'm saying is, you want to be the bigger man, be the bigger man. And just reach out to both of them individually. Don't call them on a party line. And go, hey, guys, I know I'm a dick, but listen, I would say reach out because it's obviously bothering you. There's nothing more frightening than the unknown. And you're just wondering right now, like, oh, is this guy talking shit about me to everybody now? I hate that feeling. I hate that feeling I had a friend. Well, I still have a friend who, he gets fucked up a lot. And I like to party, believe you me. But as I've gotten older, you got to scale it back. He doesn't scale it back. And it's starting to affect how he looks a little bit. And I was in the kitchen at this party. And I was like, man, he just doesn't look great. I said it to a friend. And then he walked in right then. He didn't hear me, but I still had that feeling of, ah, fuck. Hey, man. And this is somebody I care about a lot. And I'm sure you care about that person you were talking about too. But it's always that feeling. I'm sure you're having that feeling now, like, damn it, I got caught. So don't deal with it if you don't want to, but I'm telling you, the more you kind of avoid that urge to just lay around and do nothing and just do a thing, try a thing, the better you're going to feel. Yeah. So good luck, man. Let's check another one out.
Hey, Matt, this is Jane. I'm wondering if you have any advice for me on how to stop my dog from eating his own shit directly from his asshole.
No.
Any advice would be appreciated, as we are truly stumped. Thanks so much.
Oh.
Do you want me to replay that?
No, I heard it fine. You don't have to play it. I started laughing when he was eating your shit, then from his own ass. Oh, my God. It's like the mythical Irish snake, the symbol of the world, eating its tail. Good Lord. I suppose the dog could stay alive forever doing that on a desert island. long as it ate a ham before it jumped off the ship. Oh my God. First of all, Jane, I'm very sorry. That's got to be a rough one, especially when you take the dog to the dog park. What is he doing? We don't know. Boy, what? Listen, one rule that I have on this show is I will not Google. I will not look up stuff, you know, because I feel like this has to be from my perspective. So shoot, here goes. I guess a rolled up newspaper on the nose. I think you just got to give the dog a soft whack when the dog goes to eat it. So you kind of, every time it turns around to savor its delicious, delicious butthole, you just give it a whack, like a little whack on the mouth so that the dog will stop turning back to look. I mean, it's like, I wonder if it's one of those things where a lot of dogs just don't look back enough and they don't know what's happening back there. And your dog heard a noise, looked back, and saw what looked like some tasty soft serve coming out and went for it. And dog doesn't know what the dog is eating. That's my theory. Why? Because it's like dogs are beautiful, but they're so dumb. And I don't know why more dogs don't just go to the source rather than eat it off the ground. Maybe some of them like a more hardened shit. This is getting so gross. But yeah, that would be my advice. Just a little nose whack with a newspaper every time the dog is going back there. Because the dog's going to be like, all right, I can't just keep getting hit in the face when I take a dump. Like, I got to stop eating. I got to stop looking back there. And then just pick it up as soon as you can. That's my unqualified dipshit advice to you on that, Jane. And thank you. Thank you for calling in and thanks for the laugh. Oh, man, that's tough. That's so gross. Poor Jane.
I was looking forward to that.
Hey, Matt. My name's CJ. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. I'm sorry I have to whisper, but my mom and stepdad are in the other room. It's like 1 a.m. My question is, I'm really bored with music right now. I've been listening to it my entire life. It's like all the same formula, structure, shit, and I just wonder if you had any recommendations of music. Like, I'm so desperate. I'm going to, like, deaf a cappella concerts because it's all so boring to me. Like, is there any, like, unique music you can recommend to me? Please. For the love of God, please. Okay, Matt, thanks. I miss you on Agent Carter. Bye.
Oh, hey, CJ. Thanks for calling. I think that was a joke call, I'm assuming. As for music, that's a conundrum we often all run into. What I do is, you know, just maybe go back to the stuff I used to love and find what I used to love about it. And then there's all kinds of forums you can go online to explore other things. And it's a deaf a cappella concert, a thing. I don't understand what that is. Is that like flashing lights? Maybe the deep bass that you can feel? I do feel like that was a joke call, but I appreciate you liking me on Agent Carter. And I will say, they should bring it back because Marvel's kicking ass right now, and we need a something with a female lead on television set in the 40s. Am I right, folks? You know it. Next call.
Hey, Matt. My name is Cameron, and I am calling to ask you advice about the fact that I'm way too nice. So just to give a little perspective, I've always seen myself as a nice guy, and I've always tried to take that approach with others. It's that whole, you know, treat others as you want to be treated kind of thing. And I've been a musician for a long time, so been in that world ever since I was about 15 years old. I'm 36 now, so a long time. I have a corporate job. So between that world and the, you know, music thing, kind of finding out that, hey, the nice guy approach doesn't always get you places. I think it's obviously really good for, like, networking and, you know, building relationships and that sort of thing. But as far as, you know, moving up, making any headway, making any progress, you don't tend to get the respect that, you know, some people who are total assholes get. And I'm just trying to find a balance. I just want to be a good person. I want to be that person that can do stuff like this without being a total asshole, because I see people doing that all the time. You know, obviously, I'm sure that you deal with it all the time as well in the industry that you're in. And I think, you know, having that wit, being a comedian, having a quick wit, that sort of thing, you're able to kind of get out of that a little bit because, you know, you can make a joke, put someone down a little bit, everyone laughs. you kind of win that respect. I'm not so quick-witted, however, and a lot of times, you know, when I'm in these situations, it's hard for me to just, like, you know, think of a quick response or, you know, in these situations, I kind of have to process things, and sometimes it takes me a while to think of a response, and again, just not super quick with stuff. Anyway, again, this is a very good example of how I am. I get very rambly sometimes, which is, you know, obviously, it's hard to listen to these sorts of things. So, I don't know, man. I just want to know how to get some respect and not be a total asshole. You know, how do you kind of leverage your strengths and your skills socially, but still put yourself in that position where you demand respect, I guess is what I'm asking. Anyway, you're very funny. Love your comedy. Saw you a couple times in Denver and have always thought you were great. So thanks for doing this, and hopefully that question wasn't too rambly or too all over the place. Talk to you maybe never, but hopefully you give me some good advice. Thanks.
Hey, Cameron, you know, I think your problem is it's literally just your wording. Because first off, thank God you weren't one of those guys who're like, I'm nice and I can't get laid. I'm sick to fucking death of those guys and hearing their BS about nice guys never get laid, so I hate women. Boo. No, what you're talking about is trying to get ahead. And it sounds like you might be surrounded by a few too many assholes, I'll be honest with you. Because honestly, I don't think it's your niceness getting in the way of you. I think maybe it's your nervousness, and maybe you just aren't giving yourself enough credit and aren't using enough of your confidence. That's all it is. And that's normal. We all have that. I stutter when I talk to people still. When I get nervous walking up to someone and in a grocery store and asking them where shit is. Because I don't want to be like, hey, where's the cantaloupes? But do I say, hey, excuse me? Hi, where are the cantaloupe? Like, I trip over, like, how exactly I should phrase it while this person is already doing another job stocking the shelves. So there's a window into my trying to conversate with someone without, as you put it, being an asshole. But you don't want to be an asshole, man. You seemed like you defined how me and other comedians communicate while putting each other down. Yeah, we do. But the ones that do it all the time, those are, like, it's annoying. And we'll kind of like poke fun a little bit. It sounds like the people around you, I'm assuming corporate job, but it could be the musicians too. They say mean shit and make it, you know, like something's funnier. That's fine. They say mean shit and they're, they take the piss out of you, as the English say. And you're kind of worried about like, oh, I'm getting disrespected. Stand up for yourself. You know, if something's bugging you, say so. You don't have to. And I have the same worry that I'm sure you're having when I say this, that you don't want to come off like a dick and you're a nice guy. And so when you say something that is standing up for yourself or, you know, planting your flag in the ground, it's like, hey, man, why are you being so serious? Why are you being such an asshole? There are ways to just go ahead and assert yourself and say what you want and say where you want to go without being a dick. Like, You sound like a really good-hearted guy. You don't have to be quick-witted. You don't have to be funny. I think it's just kind of taking stock and going, have I said what I wanted? Have I defined what I wanted? Have I said to the people who could get me those positions what you're aiming for? Have you gotten an answer? Have you stayed on them? It's kind of that, because we put too much emphasis a lot of times on playing the game, being social, networking, all that stuff, and that's great. But at the end of the day, everybody wants to know where everyone else stands, no matter what they say. No one really likes it when people, you know, play games or be coy. So if you have a corporate position you're gunning for, there's nothing wrong with saying that. They would probably dig your gumption. And you're obviously a guy who people like to be around. And the combination of you being a nice person and also someone who has some confidence, some ambition, that's a really hot combo. People really like that. As far as music, I don't know what advice to give you, but if you love it, don't stop doing it. And I think it's pretty awesome that you can kind of bridge both things and do both those things. But don't throw your niceness under a bus. Don't be like, well, I'm just too nice of a guy. The only way to succeed. If the only way to succeed is to be an asshole, then I don't want to live in this world, man. I think we count winning or winners as, you know, shitbags like our president, pardon me. I mean, he's the ultimate example of what to look at. But there are people in this world who only define their success by how much money they have, or how far they've risen, and they will step on anything to get there. But if you do that, what do? To yourself? You wipe your own ass with your own face. That's what I think. You know, just I would say make your goals a little more clear and stand up for yourself a little bit more and just be a little more comfortable with yourself. If you ramble, whatever. Call yourself out. Laugh at yourself. That's fine. I didn't think you were too rambly. You're fine. So get off your own shit, Cameron. All right? And good luck, buddy.
Hey, Matt. I'm a comedian from Phoenix, Arizona, and I was wondering if you had any advice about starting to do some road work. I'm starting to get some road work as a feature, and I was wondering if you had any advice and tips, someone who's going to be new to going on the road. All right. Thanks, man. Bye.
Hey, dude, that's really tough. It's tough starting out, especially if you don't have, I assume you don't have representation. You don't have someone that can make those phone calls for you. But one thing that I would do initially is I would, well, first you ask your friends who are headlining if you can open for them and, you know, put yourself up the first couple of weekends. It's a great way to get in front of the club owner. You get in front of their, into their mind, and they, you know, hopefully remember you. And another way is to, I know some people who kind of reach out to bars and book their own little tours. I wouldn't suggest that because it's a really easy way to lose money, but just, I guess, reach out as much as you can and travel as much as you can. You can always, cold call a club you like to be, go to and ask if you can talk to the manager. And just mention that you're a feature, and mention some of the people you've opened for, or mention the clubs you've worked, and go from there. And from there, it kind of snowballs. I'd say the more proactive you can be, the better. Don't be too annoying. Like, put it this way: when you find out, say, someone is a manager or an agent, and you get their email, feel free to email them. Feel free to go. Hey, I'm a comedian looking for representation or whatever. Introduce yourself, because they're always out looking for new people. But what you don't want to do is send them a clip right away. What you want to do is email them first. And I think it's the same thing with clubs. Email them first. They're like, oh, great, I'd love to see a clip. Then send a clip. Because when you just email them, you send a clip, it's kind of bombardment-ish, I think. And they have people probably calling them every day, but that's okay. You know, you should be reaching out too, and also talk to other comedians that you are working with that you're opening for. I have new people open for me all the time, and I never have a problem with anyone asking me any kind of questions. You know, people that do have a problem with that are probably the same kind of hack-ass comedians that tell you what material to do and what not to do. That, God damn it, that drives me crazy. I have like a 20-minute bit about cars. Don't do any bits about cars. Go fuck yourself. Write some new shit. But best of luck to you, man. Best of luck. And that's it. That was the second episode of Advice from a Dipshit with Matt Bronger. We did it, folks. Let's keep on keeping on. Be sure to call in, and thanks very much.
Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. It's advice from a dipshit with Matt Bronger.